This morning I want to talk about something which we all face, and quite a few of us fight against, some of us embrace. Change. Who enjoys change? Let's be honest, who enjoys change? It does depend, that's very true. Depends on what it is. Never used to, yeah. Who understands that every single one of us are changing, whether we like it or not? Some of us. I'm in my mid-50s now, and believe me, the changes are not always great. I used to be able to do a lot more than I can without the pain that I get. I'm aware that there's quite a few that are sort of can go, yeah, you can at least do some things, we can't. So when you get to our age sometimes, or my age, sometimes you're thinking about change negatively. And it's like, oh, you know, I can't do that. Oh, that hurts so much. I used to be able to remember what that was. I used to be able to see what that is. All of these things are changes. But then I look down the back, and all the kids that are jumping around, you know, they're changing every day too. And most of the time, their changes are positive. They're getting bigger. They're getting stronger. They're getting faster. They're getting smarter. They're getting cheekier. They're working out all the ways around things. So the parents aren't necessarily, you know, too chuffed with it, but they really are. So change is upon us whether we like it or not. Everyone agree with that? Change is something that we have to embrace every single minute of the day. Because how we are made, our skin decays, our body decays, we replace our skin, we replace our hair, we replace all those things, there is a constant change that we are facing. And that's just within us. And then you go into our environment, into our workspace, into all the other things, and we are constantly, constantly being challenged to change. So the question is, how are we doing with that? Now, put up the last slide for me, thanks, Beck. I want to go, first of all, from a biblical perspective, the Bible talks a lot about change. Talks a lot about it. I'm just going to pick up a few things. But one of the first questions that come to me, because I'm very analytical, so I'm going, okay, if we have to change, why? I know we have to. I know we are physiologically changing and environmentally changing. Why? What's the end game? And we've heard it a bit this morning, but this is a bit of an obscure scripture, and I'll just explain it to you. The question that I had is, when have we arrived? When do we have to stop changing? Is there a point where we have to stop? And in my mind, the answer was, well, when the kingdom of God's here. Well, how do we know when the kingdom of God's here? Now, this scripture is around Jesus' communication with John the Baptist. And if you remember the story or know the story, John introduced the Israelites to Jesus. He set the way, prepared the way for him. And then he was taken into prison, and he started going and thinking in himself and doubting, going, are you really the one? And he sent his disciples out to Jesus going, are you really the one, or should we look for another? And this is Jesus' response. And this to me is, well, this is when the kingdom of God's coming. When the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy, which is a big issue back in those days, are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now, I would actually go a little step further with that, because this is Jesus talking. So we can actually talk about Jesus, and I would actually go, and are people actually coming to know Jesus? I would sort of add that as a final line. So the question is, are we there? Are we there yet? No. So what I want to look at is a couple of facets about change and then how they apply to us, both individually and corporately. Okay, can we go back to the first one? I'm going to try and take control because, you know, I'm a control freak. See? I could change. So could she. Oh no, that's recorded. Oh, I'm in trouble. Okay, I'm just going to take a couple of instances where the Bible talks about it. This is Romans 12. It says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does transformed mean?
Change.
2 Corinthians, funnily enough, a certain person prayed this morning. I was going, oh, that's really cool. 2 Corinthians 3, but we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes by the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Peter, sorry, I'm in your way, aren't I? For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. What is this talking about? It's progression of change. So, and these are just a few. There is so many in there. So if you are thinking that this doesn't affect you, then think again, because there's not a single person here, regardless of age, going from young kids to our venerable aged. Didn't sound very good, but it was actually respectful. Doesn't matter how old you are, the Bible calls us to change. Doesn't matter how young you are, the Bible calls us to change. Yeah? I want to look at one specific thing and then expand on this. This is Paul. So let me just read it out to you. It says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. Boxing? Sounded like Sean Connery then. Boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I also myself might be disqualified. What I want to focus in on this morning is Paul's analogy of our running, our change as we go and walk through this life. His analogy of comparing that to an athlete. Now, how many athletes do we have here? We actually do. Yeah, surprise you. Everyone was thinking, oh, we don't have any athletes. Well, no, we've got a couple here. Just letting you know. They're asking which ones. You'll find out soon enough. How many know about athletes, know a little bit about? I know a little bit about. I've played sports and those sort of things. And when it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, that sort of made me start to think. How does that apply to us? All right, so I want to just hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. The writer of Hebrews says something very similar. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set us. So let me ask you, how many can go and run 5Ks without stopping? Just put your hand up. After 500 metres, you just go, give up. Okay. You know, the longer you do anything, you need what they call endurance. How do you get endurance? Now, I actually want to just ask a couple of questions. Beck, if you can do this. Bree, for those who don't know, Bree has been training since I've been here, which is going on 5 years, and she is consistently, with ups and downs, through kids, trained. So I want to ask Bree 3 questions, and I want you to think how you would answer this. This is somebody who is training and has been. So Bree, let me ask you, as a runner, how do you improve?
Train. Train harder.
Train harder, okay.
Yep.
As a runner, how do you maintain your fitness?
Training.
Keep training.
Just continuous training.
What happens if you don't train?
Even for a week or a couple of days, you feel sluggish and you feel bad and you can't run as far.
Did everyone hear that?
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Now, one of our athletes is Bonnie. Everyone know Bonnie? I'm sure you do. This lady runs a lot, and she's really good. So I'm going to ask you the same questions, and that's not running away from Simon or the kids, just in case you were thinking that.
That is part of my training.
That is part of the training. All right, Bonnie, same questions for you. As a runner, how do you improve?
Well, I run often, but make sure that my courses are different every time. So I can run flat, run road, but then I run hills. And then you do hill training where you go up and down, up and down, up and down, like 12 times. So you just do different things.
Okay. How do you maintain what you've currently got?
You keep doing it. it's really rhythm. Yes, rhythm. This is my coach. rhythm, like doing it once every 2 days or 3 days is really important, because like Bree said, if you don't, then you can't do it anymore.
Very good.
Really quickly.
What happens if you stop training?
You watch a lot of stuff on TV, like tennis, and think that by osmosis you could be as awesome as they.
I should be awesome then.
Me too.
Thank you, ladies. What I wanted to highlight from that is that a lot of times, as in our walk as a Christian, in our race of life, we pull back from training. And there are times that we go, you know, that's okay. And it can do that. But one of the issues, I think, and I certainly had this as just a general thought, it's like, it's okay if I don't train for a little while, I can go back and I'll be where I was. Now, I have never been a runner, and over the last probably 3 or 4 years, I've actually started doing a little bit, and I surprised myself I could do more than I thought I could. But watching the tennis and being really busy, it's amazing if you miss just doing it once a week. I used to try and do it once a week, and I can see just by doing the same thing once a week, I could improve. But at the very least, I could maintain what I had. Now I haven't done it for ages, and then when I go for a run, it's like, oh. I can tell you I'm slower, sluggish. I hurt more. And I'm not a runner that can run 5Ks without stopping. I can run 5Ks, but I stop 3 times or something like that. So when I haven't trained for a while, that 3 times becomes 10, 11, and I almost end up walking more than you're running, and it has such a huge difference. So the question is, in our walk of life, how is our training going? There are times in an athlete's training where they have a break. Because if anyone's ever done any training, it is monotonous. It is mind-numbingly boring running for kilometer after kilometer. You've got to either train your mind to think of something, or quite a lot of people who run listen to music or do a whole range of different things. But it is monotonous and mind-numbingly boring. There are times when they need a break to do that. Is there any problem with having a break in training? No. What's the only problem if you have a break? Starting again, going back, starting watching the tennis instead of being out there running. Mind you, some of it's worth watching. I'll give you that. It's pretty good. So, the issue for us in our walk of life, in our training, is if we have a break, don't stay there. It's okay to have a break. If you're busy, if you are a people person and you are talking to people all the time, it's okay to have a break, because if you don't, you might actually go too far and, you know, slit a wrist or something. But that might be a bit far. That's recorded again too. I'm in trouble for that as well. But you understand what I'm saying. There are times when you have had it up to here and you need a break. The thing is, don't stay there. The other interesting thing with athletes, if we're looking at it this, is that the majority of time, except in a race, they are never looking at anyone else. They're only looking at themselves. Who knows what PB stands for? Personal best. Athletes work on PBs. They judge themselves against themselves. and against the clock, depending on what they're doing. So if we're talking running, they're judging themselves on what they have done against the clock. Now, how does this apply to us? There are so many people around going, I don't need to do that. There are amazing people that just do incredible things all the time, so why should I have to bother? There's these people here. Yeah, sit down, all right. But you know what I'm saying? There are those around. As an athlete in our walk of life, we don't look at others. We look at ourselves. We look at how we have been doing. We look at our PBs. Making sense? So, what's training for us? Some thoughts. What's training in our walk of life? Sorry? Work? Sorry? Discipline where? Discipline in mind, okay. What else? What's training? Reading the word. Okay, if you're training in the race of your life as a Christian, what's training look like for you? Okay, into the word more. That's very good. For those who didn't hear, they're saying we need not only be training in the word, but also training in everyday life, so not one without the other. Mind the gap? Yes, Simon? Practice love?
Yeah.
Listen to the master?
Connections?
That was Karate Satan, just in case you didn't hear it. That's good. Stay close to the coach. All these analogies coming out, isn't it? Once they start coming, people start going, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that, do that, do that.
I think Chris also nailed it when she said we've got to try now, and I think that's going to be a thing for this year for me, is we're going to have some altars, some places of like, when I am here, my focus is worship, and actually have it in my day, in my week, in my lifestyle, and actually have some places for worship, for prayer. But because I become to that thing of like, oh, I did that. Oh, no, I didn't. I sat and watched the tennis. You
it's
know?
A bit late.
Blah.
So just to paraphrase that, this is like 10 minutes talk. We need to have some altars in our place so that when we're there, we're there and not distracted. Okay. Yes?
We need to focus on different disciplines.
Focus on.
Yep. Some days I'll work on my lower body.
Yep.
Some days I'll just do cardio.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yes.
Do you want to join a team?
Yes.
Do you want a team? Yep.
No, Simon.
Sam? Know where the source of your energy comes from.
Keep it interesting.
And nourish it.
Keep it interesting.
Yep. See, now we're starting to get an idea of some of these things. Let me go through some of the things that I thought of. In no particular order, but one of the big things for me is don't get caught up with doing and forget about being. But then also, don't get so obsessed with being that you forget about doing, because we actually need both, right? Now, I've got exactly what you said here. Training is not about doing everything. It's about focusing on a particular discipline at a particular time. But, just like Bree said, we don't do that at the exclusion of the other things. So if you have a look at an athlete's training schedule, and they might go, okay, we're going to do legs day today, they don't just stop doing everything else. They keep their diet up, they keep their sleep up, they do all those other things that are absolutely necessary. They just focus on one particular thing. Now just remember that, because I'm going to come back to that later on. And I've got a few other basic things. I'm just going to read a few out. Just these are obvious, and we've already covered quite a few of them. This is going to be different for every person, but the basics are basic. They're consistent for everybody. Prayer, reading, study, fellowship, personal interaction. We've had that. Accountability, service, compassion. learn to love, or open to it, grace, love, time, hearing, spending time hearing, moving and expanding in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, exhibiting and expanding in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, being stretched, having your capabilities expanded, which is part of stretching, taking on responsibilities, handling responsibilities. And it's just funny, I'm looking over here and I'm looking at a young couple with a baby. I mean, how much more of a responsibility is that? And that's stretching. Change. Welcome, change. These are all part of our training. So just because I've got a list of about 20 things, does that mean we all need to do those 20 things? No, it's different for everyone. One of the other things that I was thinking about with that is, for a lot of us, we know a lot of these things. Circumstances, distractions, those sort of things can come in and take us out and stop us. And we potentially need to relearn some things. And how do you relearn? How do you start a habit again? What do you have to do? You have to do it consistently. Was it I don't know how accurate this is, but I've heard it heaps of times, so just because you hear it a lot, it must be true. If you keep doing the same thing for 30 days in a row, you've created a habit. But in a sporting analogy, if you do things over and over again, and I've got a tennis background, so I've played tennis for 40 years, so I no longer have to think about how to actually structure to hit a backhand or forehand, because I've hit tens of thousands of them, and there's a thing called muscle memory. I now no longer have to tell my muscles what to do to actually hit a backhand or forehand. I've got to tell them to stop complaining when I do, but I don't have to tell them how to do it, right? And it's the same thing for us. As we exercise some of these things and do them consistently, we actually create, if we need to create, or we affirm, if we've already got it, a habit, muscle memory in that. This is all part of training. Distractions. Interesting, this part in Hebrews 12, don't you think, where it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. As a runner, I see people training with this, but the worst thing I could think, I carry enough weight as it is, but if you had a knapsack with weight in it, that would just be so hard, but they do it to training. So I've got that in my mind. It's like, why would we voluntarily take on extra weight and train and run? Because it makes it so much harder and it slows you down. Distractions, I feel, are very similar to that. So, you know, and I can go and list you 20 different distractions, but it's going to be different. There's probably 1,000 distractions that it'll get everybody, but it's just the thing of losing focus. One of the key things that athletes have, which sets them apart, because at the end of the day, an athlete is elite. And elite, by very nature of its terminology, means that it's top 1% or something like that. Why are they elite? Because they have a focus. And they're prepared to act on that focus on a consistent basis with that. Are we called to be athletes? Are we called to be elite? Are we? We are, aren't we? There's no escaping that. We are. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This is Paul speaking, so he's talking about the race and achieving the prize. He said, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. What's one of the other things that training looks like? Forgetting what's behind. I know all of us have baggage. All of us have stuff that we are carrying around with us. And part of our journey of life is how we deal with that. There are times where God comes and goes, okay, now let that go. And then that weight comes off you and it's like, oh, why didn't I do that so much earlier? But that's part of forgetting what's behind. That's part of training. sometimes for people, they can't go forward until they actually deal with what's behind. For a lot of people, you can't go forward unless you have stuff behind, because what's behind can often make you who you are and enable you to go forward. So it's not just one or the other, but it is still a fact that we have to consider. Okay. Change. We're all changing. We can actually be proactive in that. We can actually understand that, God, there is a plan for us as your kids to grow, to become more like Jesus. To what end? What's the purpose of it? Is there a purpose for that? Obviously there is. I was just thinking, I just had the thought then, well, even if there wasn't, that would be enough for me, but there is. What's the purpose for us? So, I want to bring this down to where it meets the rubber meets the road. As a church, this year we are looking at four big areas that are going to apply. For all your imaginations, please imagine there's another I between the R and T, so you don't get distracted. These are areas that as a corporate body, we are going, we need to work together with this. Now, is there a single person that's going, I need to work in all of those areas? I would say no, because fundamentally, there's not a single area in there, a single area that won't go, just one person going, oh, that just gets me. And they're inspired and they're challenged and they're excited and they want to move into that. I don't know about you, but that's the same for me. So I want to go through and just have a look at some of these and just offer some things and suggestions going, is this an area for you? Is this where you can see yourself training, being trained, continuing training, get back onto training if you've been off? All of those different scenarios, because they're covering all of us, yeah? Now, I'm not going to apologize for this, but Holy Spirit is my... Holy Spirit, not the other one, is my passion. So I've got more thoughts on this, but don't take that any other way. So let me ask you a question. If Holy Spirit, that whole area as a church, really inspires you, then this year is your training. Are you looking to actively seek after him more? Are you looking to actively hear him more? If you are, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Are you spending time? If you haven't received it and you're open to it, are you looking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you looking to have all that operating and working in you? If you haven't, being filled? Are you looking to operate in the gifts? Do you operate in the gifts? If you do, do you want to be stretched and to operate into more? Because what did the Bible say? They're open to everybody. Seek after the gifts. Do you have dreams? Godly dreams, let's say. Godly dreams. Do you have godly dreams where God talks to you? If not, do you want them? Seek after them. Do you have visions? Had a lady last week, I thought about now when. Had a lady last week who actually saw a white light here. During the worship. Opened her eyes and going, is that a reflection? Is that something, light playing tricks? And it wasn't. She saw a vision. God was here last week. He's here this week as well. But it's letting you know, if that really excites you, what are you doing about it? How are you training to it? Are you pushing into that? Are you seeking after that? Are you going, God, open my eyes? I want to see that realm. Are you intentionalizing expectation? Sorry about the big words. It's just how my head goes. Are you coming along whenever you go into God's presence, whether it be here, whether it be home group, whether it be at work, whether it be in your bed, do you have an expectation of God to come, of God to be there, of God to speak to you, of God to move? If you're praying for someone, do you have an expectation that God's going to heal them, that God's going to reveal things to them? That's what I mean. Are you intentionalizing having an expectation? Is that something that's on your heart? Train for it. In your world, do you go, Holy Spirit, I need you in my workplace. I need you when I'm on public transport. I need you in my neighborhood. Been in church for so many years, not long compared to others. And from my experience, it's really easy to go, yep, we can experience God in here. It's safe in here. But you know, when you actually get in and read about what Jesus is talking about, and we've been hearing this over the last few years, all the weird stuff that we think is in here is actually designed for out there. The gifts of the Spirit, even though they're good for in here, they're actually designed as a demonstration for those who don't know God. Prophecy is designed to demonstrate to those who don't know God that God's real. That's, you read in Corinthians, that's what Paul talks about. So let me ask you, in your worlds, are you asking God, expecting God, believing God to move where you are? Now, please don't take this as a heavy thing or going, you should be. What I'm trying to do is open up your eyes to go, are we? Can we? Should we? Will we? Those questions. Let's go on to the second one, the table. For those who aren't aware, table is the concept of just connecting over a meal with so many different other groups, just connecting over a meal. So if that really inspires you, and I know there's a few that it does, let me ask you a question. Are you actively seeking opportunities to connect over a meal? Are you actively seeking for opportunities to share? Are you actively praying for salvations, for God to come and move and convict? Are you actively seeking other people in your world to go, I can join at your table, you can join at mine. Let's just join together and have a meal and talk and get to know each other. Let's practice love. Are you actively seeking that? Are you looking for places where you can actually go in and serve? Prepare the meal. Don't necessarily go around and go, I'll cook, I'll provide everything, you come. And there's so much more in that I don't want to go too much further into that, but the question is, if we are training in these things, what areas are you going into that? And before I go into the others, let me just say one more thing. All we need is a PB. A PB, a personal best. Because that means we have done more than we've done before. We've done better than we've done before. So let me just say, if you struggle to pray on a regular basis, if you pray every day for a month, you've got a PB. Well done. If you struggle to share your testimony and you talk to one person this year, you've got a PB. Well done. Seriously, well done. Anybody who does a PB needs a pat on the back. Pat on the back. Not a slap, a pat. So when I'm talking about all of these things, you're not comparing with somebody else. I'm not comparing with Phil about talking to those that are lost, because if I look at him and how he shares, I'd go, shoot me now. Because this guy is incredible at it. He really is. And for him, it's normal and natural. Like I said before, we don't compare with each other. We compare ourselves and go, okay, if I'm sharing with somebody and I've never shared with somebody before and I managed to share with somebody, that's a PB. That's awesome. So when I go through these things and sharing with that, I just want to suggest to you that if you pick one of those, if one of those things come in you and going, God, I could do that. I really want to do that. I could do that. I could just keep on doing that. And if you do that this year, you've got a PB. And you know what comes when you do PBs? You start to grow. Every time an athlete does a PB, they have stretched their muscles, they have stretched their endurance, and the body repairs itself, and they have increased. There is a cost, that's right. But every time we do a PB, we have grown. Every single time in that area. And at the end of the day, we are called to grow. From glory to glory. Now, on that scripture, it's the Spirit that helps us grow and change from glory to glory. Let me go through some of the others. The M's for missions, and that's spelt right, which is good. If missions does it for you and you go, we have to reach others, we have to do that, are you praying? Are you giving? Are you talking with those? I've never been on the missions, and I've got to say this is not something that is really deep and heavy on my heart, but I know and have heard that those who have been out on the missions, one of the keenest things they get is for communication with those that are at home. Encouragement and doing all of those things. Would that be accurate, David? So, are you communicating? If missions are really on your heart, connect with somebody who's on the missions and go, well done, I'm praying for you, I'll support you, I'll do, what do you need? This is an area of growth, this is an area of training. And one of the scariest things for me is like, are you open to being called? No, that's getting too close to home for me, but are you open to being called? If missions are really on your heart, and you want to train and grow, are you going, God, send me? Because there's quite a few that are. And I tell you, God takes you at your heart. Leadership. This is an interesting area from my perspective. But I want to ask you, if you're feeling called, if you're feeling that you want to do more, to learn more, are you open to mentoring? Who knows what mentoring is? Are you open to being mentored? And this is another one that scares me. Are you open to study? Study's a scary thing. Are you open to serving? I've had a picture a long, long time for leaders, and everybody, where I grew up in church, the leaders were always looked and going, you know, you are the best. And if you're looking at a big triangle, the leaders were at the top and everyone aspired to them because they had influence and they had power over people. But in actual fact, if you look at the Bible, it's an inverted triangle because the leaders are actually the ones underneath supporting everything. They're the ones down in the dirt or buried in the dirt that have a really hard time because they're taking all the weight. So if you're called to leadership, are you praying for it? Are you open to it? Are you serving in it? Are you praying for the leaders that you currently have? Is life about you or is it about others? So I want to encourage you, just as we contemplate this year, and I know we're a couple of weeks into the year, but I want to encourage you as we contemplate this year. We're called to run a race with endurance. That's the terminology. Endurance takes work. If we stop the work, if we stop the training, we go backwards. It's so much harder. You've got to go through that work again to get to where you were. Does that mean that we are constantly having to work? Well, we get breaks, but we can't stop there. So this year I want to challenge you individually. What areas do you feel the Holy Spirit is touching you going, we need more training? Or we need to focus on training on this? Because I guarantee you, every single one of us, he's talking to us about something. The question is, are we going to hear and listen? And two other points I just want to make before I finish. I want to reiterate that this is not a comparison. We are not being compared from one to another. We are not called to go, well, how are you doing? How am I doing? Am I doing better than you? Are you bigger than me? Am I bigger than you? We don't do that. The world does that. The world goes, do I earn more than you? Do you earn more than me? How do I feel compared to you? Or do I feel good because I earn more than you? Well, I feel better than you so I can talk to you. That's not how we live. That's not love. We're called for PBs. We're called to compare ourselves to Jesus and how we are going with him. And he is the only one qualified to condemn us. And he's the one who doesn't. In fact, he lifts us up. Just remembering that woman who was caught in adultery, and the only person that, we don't know how many people were there, but let's say there was 20 people there, 19 of those, 18 of those, felt like they wanted to condemn her because the law says if you're caught in that, you die. One of those, the only one who had never sinned and never did sin, and therefore, according to the law, the only one who had the right to condemn, didn't. And for us, as we relate with God, we are in that every single day. God has the right to condemn us, and he chooses not to every single time. So don't do it to yourself. Don't allow it to happen to yourself. And Daniel said earlier today, we lie to ourselves so many times. And by condemning ourselves and going, well, no, they do it better than you, just let them do it, that's a lie. We are now comparing ourselves with them and going outside of what God has said for us to do. PBs. What am I doing? How is God challenging me to improve, to stretch, to grow, to run the race with endurance? I want to give opportunity, and it's up to everyone. I want to give opportunity, if God is really speaking to you, just to come and get prayer. It may not necessarily be, God, I need this. It may be, God, I just want to seal what you're talking to me. And it may be, God, I just feel something going on here, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm going to have to investigate it and seek it out. But this year, as a church, we have to move. We have to move with the Holy Spirit. I was going to say plans, but we have heard from God that there are so many things that need to be done. And if you just take a minute to look outside of your world, and sometimes a lot of our world, a lot of our focuses are in the world, but if you take a moment to have a look at the homeless, the poor, the destitute, the broken, the financially disadvantaged. There are so many. There is so much need out there. And if you for a minute think that God is not interested or involved in that, then you need to have a chat with him. I can tell you that God's heart is right there, constantly, purposefully, powerfully. And as a church, we want to be where he is. We want to go where he wants us to go. And that's going to involve us training, listening, growing, developing endurance. And endurance could be things like praying. You may pray for 5 minutes and then go, I've got nothing else to say. This year, if that's on your heart, try to pray for 10. And if you start praying for 10 minutes before you forget, you lose things to say, then you've grown, you've become more, you've developed your endurance. Whatever it might be, church, I want to encourage you, we have to grow. It's going to happen anyway. Let's do it intentionally, purposefully, obediently. So I'm just going to hand it back to Daniel, but I want to encourage you, if you want prayer, just come out the front. The elders are going to be there to pray.